السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We were discussing the five qualities of a pious wife. We are still discussing the first quality, right? The first quality we said was that she must obey every permissible instruction of her husband. Right? So under this, we're coming to a subheading which reads, Uniting Two Hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed men as leaders of women in the couple's journey through life. Every post of leadership in this world is temporary. A leader today is soon an ordinary citizen. On the converse, a prisoner today may well be president of his country tomorrow, as we have seen in South Africa. Person who was a leader, he then became an ordinary citizen, and a person who was a prisoner, Mandela, he was a prisoner, he then became the president of the country. Right? So leadership in this world, sometimes a person is a leader, sometimes he is a follower. However, the leadership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted a husband will last for as long as he is married, which is often as long as he lives. Generally, marriages last till death, right? So till he lives, he is the leader, he is the guide of his wife. In addition to this, his relationship with his wife is an intimate relationship by which their hearts are united, much unlike political leadership, which is merely official. Right? The government, president of the country, sometime your whole life will go, you may have never ever seen him even once in your whole life. Take the president of our country, right? Up to this day, I have never seen him live in my life, but he is the president of the country. So many presidents came and went, we never ever saw them live in our whole lives, right? But husband and wife, nearly every day they are seeing one another. Because the husband remains her leader throughout the wife's life, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized his position by stating that she should be commanded to prostrate before him, make sajda before him, if this was permissible for anyone besides Allah Ta'ala. But we know that it is only permissible to make sajda to Allah Ta'ala. But had it been permissible, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will order the lady, the wife, to make sajda to her husband. The worst difficulties of this world are temporary. Keep the final stages of your life in mind, together with the bounties that Allah Ta'ala shall bestow on you for being an obedient wife. In this manner, every thorn will seem like a rose, and nothing will be too difficult. Never make your husband angry, and you will have no worries when Allah Ta'ala asks you on the day of Qiyamah whether you had fulfilled the rights of your husband. You will be able to say that by pleasing your husband, you sought Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, which you will have on that day. So this is always, you must remember in the back of your mind, whatever you do to please your husband, it is to earn the pleasure of Allah. So if you have that in the back of your mind, then even if you do something to please him, right? Say for example, you are married to your husband for 10 years, 12 years, and you did everything to make him happy. Right? Now after 12 years, he decides that he wants to take a second wife. Right? He decides he wants to take a second wife. So if for the past 12 years, you were doing everything to make him happy, for his pleasure, now you will get very, very upset. You will get very upset. You will become frustrated. You will go into a depression. You will want to, you will be talking suicidal things, etc., etc. Right? You may even become aggressive, right? But if whatever you do in your life, you do it to please Allah. So for the past 10 years, you were making the khidmat of your husband for the pleasure of Allah. Now after 10 years, he says, you know what? I'm taking a second wife. So now this too, you will accept for the pleasure of Allah. You will accept it for the pleasure of Allah. Then Allah, you made it permissible. He wants to do it. I may not be happy, but you made it permissible. So I accept it for your pleasure. You take care of me. So if everything in our life we do for the pleasure of Allah, then it makes things very, very easy for us. May Allah Ta'ala make you the ruler of your husband's heart, and include you in the ranks of people like Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, who shall be the leader of the woman in Jannah, and in the ranks of people like Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in whose lap Allah's beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, despite the presence of thousands of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who would have given their lives for him. They were all with him in the battlefield. They were next to him all the time. But when the time came for his final journey, Allah Pak made it in the lap of his wife. So the husband also, sometime, he may be a big businessman, right? He's traveling overseas. You got so many associates and partners and business friends and whatever, right? But if you as a wife, you show your husband muhabbat, you are obedient to him, then remember, he may be the owner of big properties and firms and whatever, but you will be the owner of his heart. You will be the owner of his heart. He will be anywhere in the world, but he will be thinking of you. And at the end of the day, he will come back home to you. That is, provided you show muhabbat for the pleasure of Allah and you are obedient to your husband. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the izzat at the end of the day. Khair. The jihad of women. Hazrat Asma bint Yazid Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anha once said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other women have sent me to ask you something. See, Hazrat Asma bint Yazid radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a person who had a little bit of courage. She could ask. Now, the other ladies were feeling very, very shy. They didn't know how to go and pose this question to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she went on behalf of all the ladies. She said, indeed, Allah Ta'ala has sent you as a messenger to both men and women. We women have therefore believed in you and in Allah Ta'ala. However, we have to remain indoors, tend to our domestic chores, fulfill the desires of our husbands, and bear their children. Despite all of this, men excel us in earning great rewards for things that we are unable to do. Listen to this very, very carefully. They perform their salah, daily salah and Jumu'ah salah in the masjid. They visit the sick. They attend the funerals. They perform hajj after hajj. And above all, they fight in jihad. When they go for hajj, umrah or jihad, we look after their property, raise their children, and weave cloth for them. In other words, we have to do all the domestic chores. Do we not share their rewards? That they are able to go out, they go out, they do this, they do that. We have to sit in the house, look after the children, and do all the domestic chores. After hearing this question, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and he said, did you ever hear a woman asking a better question? What a question she has asked. We never thought that a woman could ask such an excellent question, replied the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Addressing Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, listen attentively and tell the ladies who have sent you that when a woman seeks the pleasure of her husband and carries out all her domestic chores to his satisfaction, she receives the same rewards that men receive for all their deeds. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha returned very happily with this reply. Obedience to and kind treatment of one's husband is an extremely great virtue which many wives are negligent in performing. See, everybody wants to go for Umrah, right? Everybody wants to go for Umrah. Now say the husband, he can't afford to take his wife. He can't afford to take his wife, right? But he can manage to go, but he can't afford to take the wife. Now the wife says, no, but I also want to go. What's this? Every time only you going, I must sit at home, look after the children. What about me? When am I going to go? This, that. Right. Now, on the other hand, if she says to her husband, that look, never mind, you can't afford to take me and all the children and everything. Never mind, you go. You go, I'll stay home with the children. You go. Right? Now when he goes, who he is going to make dua for? When he goes to the Roza Mubarak, whose salam he is going to convey? He may forget everybody else, but his wife and children, would he forget them? He won't forget them. Right? So they will cash in his duas, he will give their salam, everything. Right? And over and above that, they will get all the sawab of his going for Umrah. They sitting at home, she's sitting at home looking after the children and doing the domestic chores. She is still getting sawab of having gone for Umrah. Because she is making it possible for him to go. Right? Now let's look at it the other way. Say she really does go for Umrah. He takes her. Right, he manages to get some monies, whatever, and he takes her and goes. Now when he takes her and goes, one of two things can happen. Either she can spend her time properly and get sawab, or she can end up doing certain things which will spoil her whole umrah. And she gets no sawab, in fact she gets guna. So, obviously, it's everybody's desire to go. And if the husband can afford it and the circumstances allow it, then he must take his wife and go. But if the situation is such that for some reason or the other, he is unable to take the wife, right? He is unable to take the wife, then the wife should never feel despondent and feel like, yeah, only the men, they get a chance to go everywhere and they do this and we must just sit at home and look after the children. She must never feel that way, because this is her jihad. She is getting the full sawab. Whatever he is doing, she is getting the sawab. And at the end of the day, that is what we want. Allah's pleasure. Reward and Allah's pleasure. So she's getting it while sitting comfortably in her home. Right? Okay, let's move on to the second quality. The first quality we said was obedience to the husband, right? Now this is the second quality. The second quality of a pious wife. Now remember, these qualities have been given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Not by anybody else, right? The second quality of a pious wife is that she pleases her husband when he looks at her. When he looks at his wife, he is pleased. Right? Such a wife employs lawful means to look after her beauty and cleanliness so that she remains attractive for her husband. She also dresses lawfully in a manner that pleases him. Right? Whatever is permissible, right? Mehndi is permissible. She utilizes it. Surma, kajal is permissible. She utilizes it. Right? Certain creams may be permissible for her to keep her skin smooth, supple. Right? So whatever is permissible, eyeliners are permissible. Whatever is permissible for her to use, she uses it to beautify herself. I mean, to comb her hair nicely, keep it neat and tidy. That is permissible, right? She can't expose her hair when she's leaving the house. She can't expose her hair when she's leaving the house. But now she knows, my husband is gone for gush, or my husband is gone for program. All the children are gone to their rooms. They gone to sleep. Right? Now she says, okay, I know, plus minus, my husband should be back home by this time. Now she goes, she takes a bath, remove all the perspiration smell, she takes a bath nicely, then she brushes her teeth, removes all the odors from the mouth. Not now she's coming to sleep and her mouth is smelling like garlic or stale smell in her mouth. Now she brushes her teeth, she takes a bath, she uses some fragrant shampoo on her hair, then she wears a nice outfit. Not obviously now, she's not going out, so she's not going to wear dressing up with high heels and all that. But she wears a nice, whatever she uses to sleep, a nice outfit with a nice gown or whatever, right? And then she combs her hair and she leaves her hair open. Her husband can see her hair. She's waiting for her husband to come. She styles her hair a little bit. And she looks beautiful and attractive. Her husband is coming home. She even puts on a few pieces of jewelry. And then she puts on some perfume. Powder, perfume, scent. But the ladies don't think like that. They don't think like that. They only want to do these things when they're going to attend one wedding or when they're going to the mall, when they're leaving the house. Then they want to do these things. But in the house, for the pleasure of the husband, to make the husband happy, no, they're not interested. Anyhow, they'll dress up, creased up, not hair, not comb, nothing. They're not bothered. Then after that, after 5 years, 10 years, when the husband now, his eyes are somewhere else, when he's no more interested in the wife, then she's saying, no, but now, what I did, why is he doing this to me, why is he... No, you must keep the attention of your husband. You must remain smart. Not now, you got married, so now you've gone out of shape. Now you're not bothered about your weight, you're not bothered about your dressing. Now because you've gone 10 years into marriage, so you don't even wear smart clothes anymore. You don't show your husband affection and show him that, you know, he is very, very handsome and beloved to you. So a grave error of many women. Now you see, we go to extremes. On the one hand, you'll get some ladies, right, that don't bother at all. They don't bother at all. Then on the other hand, you'll get some ladies, they go on the direct opposite extreme now. They go and do so many things, all haram things and everything, in order to beautify themselves. So both those things are not desirable. We must take the middle path. You have to keep yourself beautiful, but within the parameters of Sharia. Remember something in life. I gave this example on Tuesday night in Durban. This advice, right? Allah Pak must give me tawfiq to make amal, give you tawfiq to make amal. What is this advice? Anything that you want to do in life, right? You can accomplish it without breaking the laws of Sharia. Whether it is propagating the deen of Allah, whether it is keeping your husband happy, raising your children and winning their love, maintaining family ties, whatever it may be, earning a rozi, whatever it may be, it all can be done within the parameters of Sharia. There is no need for us to go beyond the parameters of Sharia. Understand. Now, a grave error of many women. Hazrat Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that it is indeed strange that many women look like street sweepers and servants when at home with their husbands. When they're at home with their husbands, they wear that same kaftan day in, day out. That thing is so old and drab and faded, right? Creased up, they can't be bothered. Their hair is not combed. Nothing. They don't bother about themselves. Why? Because they're not going out. They're staying at home. So they don't bother about themselves. Whereas that's supposed to be the time that they dress up. Right? And they only dress up smartly when going out of the house. Is she dressing up only for others to see? She does not dress up for the husband for whose pleasure the clothes were made and for whom she made herself a bride. But she does this for others. When she's going out, then if there's one mark on that dress, if there's one mark on that cloak, no, I need to go and change. I need to go and change. No, how can I go like this? How can I go with a niqab like this? How can I go with the old burqa? Then she's very worried about all these things. But when she's at home with the husband, then she can't be bothered. Now if the husband is making sabr, that is his good akhlaq. Sometimes the lady is, she's not bothered about herself. The husband just makes sabr and he keeps quiet and carries on. And he still makes shukr to Allah Pak and carries on. That is his good akhlaq. But then the lady mustn't take advantage of that. She mustn't take advantage of that. Tomorrow he sees a pretty woman somewhere. He sees a beautiful woman somewhere. And he thinks to himself, Shaitan can put the thought in his mind that, hey, you're doing everything for this wife of yours. She can't even comb her hair properly, man. Look at that lady. She's so neat. She's so tidy. So it mustn't be like that. A lady, the lady's got half a dozen excuses, right? They say, no, but now, we got to look after the children. We got to cook. We got to do. Where we got time for all these things? Where we got time for all these things? Right? So then be prepared to lose your husband then. If you don't have time to beautify yourself for your husband, then if you lose your husband, then who are you going to blame? So you have to take out time, and nobody is saying now you have to go for facials and makeup artists you have to go by and all that. No. What is within the parameters of Sharia? Do what is within the parameters of Sharia. Sometimes ladies, they spend so much of time on the phone, talking to their mother, talking to their sister, talking to the lady down the street, talking to this friend, that friend. If they just take the time that they spend on the phone, right, and they use even half of that time to pay some, to give some attention to themselves, they'll be able to keep themselves in shape, keep themselves slim and trim, keep themselves beautiful. She dresses shabbily in front of her husband and does not speak politely to him. Yet she dresses exquisitely before others and speaks most sweetly to them. Wallahi, just yesterday, one man is complaining. There's a problem between him and his wife. He's telling me. He says, Maulana, when she can't talk to me. Whenever we try to talk, she only knows how to raise her voice and use harsh words. But must see how she talks to her sister's husband. Must see how she talks to her sister's husband. Must see how she talks to customers that come in the shop. See how she talks to other people. Her cousins, her male cousins and all that. How sweetly and joking and everything. She can be so friendly and sweet. But when she's talking to me, then she just can't keep her cool. So what type of behavior is this? Others are therefore thrilled at the husband's expense. That he is buying the clothing. And others are getting the pleasure of seeing how beautiful she is in that outfit. But the husband, he doesn't get the pleasure. While demanding her rights and maintenance from the husband, she spends the same to please others. Is this justice? So many men, they say, Maulana, she's chatting with strange men on the phone, on the BlackBerry, on WhatsApp. The husband bought the BlackBerry for her so that she can keep in touch with him. And now she's using it to chat with strange men. She's on this chat group and that chat group. Is this justice? Using the husband's money, under the husband's roof, eating the food that the husband provided. And then speaking to strange men. It is indeed improper for a woman to reserve her good clothes only for going out. You know, this mentality is the first time that I'm reading that Hazrat Hakimul Ummat mentioned this. But I'm so happy that Allah Pak made this Nakara's thinking the same like Hazrat Hakimul Ummat rahmatullahi alayhi. That in this particular thing, I mentioned it so many times in so many bayans prior to this, and I'm so happy that I'm reading that Hazrat Hakimul Ummat said the same thing. That the lady, where is this logic? The smart clothing. No, but you can't wear this in the house. This is not for house wearing. This is for going out. This is for functions. Who you want to please? When we're going out and going for functions, that time you're supposed to be wearing the same kind cloak that you wear when you come to madrasa. The cloak that you're wearing when you come to madrasa, this black cloak and burqa, This is what you're supposed to be wearing when you go out, when you go to the mall, when you go to the function. When you're in your house, then dress up, posh up, be pretty, be smart, look cute. Do that in your house. The best outfit that you got. You know, this weekend we're not going out anywhere. The husband said, this weekend we're staying at home. We're not going out anywhere. That day you must take out that smartest outfit. The outfit which we say, no, you can only wear it to the wedding. This one you can only wear to the walima. That one you can only wear on Eid day. No, no, no. The day you're staying alone with your husband at home, take out that outfit. The one which you thought you can only wear on Eid day. Take out that outfit and wear that one. Put your jewelry on. Put kajal in your eyes. Put your perfume, because you're not going out anywhere. Beautify yourself. Make yourself attractive for your husband's pleasure. But no, the brains are ulta. The brains are upside down. When we are alone at home, if Sunday the husband says we're not going nowhere, then that lady will be in her pyjamas the whole day. Whole day she'll be in her creased up, smelly pyjamas. And in the afternoon, if the husband says, no, let's take a drive, then see how in 10 minutes she can posh herself up. But she won't think, no, let me wake up in the morning. Husband is still asleep, right? Let me wake up in the morning. Let me go and have a nice bath. Let me comb my hair nicely. That other, we went the other day, he bought me that clip that can hold the bun in a special way. Let me use that clip today. That smart scarf he bought for me, let me wear that. And that smart outfit, he always likes that outfit. Let me wear that outfit. And where's that pretty sandals he bought for me? Let me wear it, because today we're not going anywhere. So let me posh up nicely for him and look beautiful. When he wakes up, his breakfast is ready. And he can see how what a beautiful wife Allah Pak has blessed him with. But no, the ladies are not prepared to make any effort in that regard. They're not prepared to make effort. In the first year of marriage, they worry about those things. After that finish, they can't be bothered anymore. This is totally incorrect, right? It is for this reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described a good wife as one who pleases her husband when he looks at her. If a wife takes pride in her appearance and beautifies herself, she will be the most beautiful woman to her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make every one of you the most beautiful woman to your husbands. Make you the apple of the eye of your husbands. You must become the apple of the eye. You must become the rose of his heart. But it takes effort. You have to make effort. One is the akhlaqi effort, and the other is also the physical effort that you have to make. You have to make your physical appearance look good. You can't just leave yourself to waste away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayhi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.